Welcome back. We are so glad that you're joining us as we continue to present timeless hope in hopeless times. What we're trying to do right now is realize that even in a world that seems hopeless, there is a hope that is from thousands of years ago, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ that surpasses all time, and it's a timeless hope that we can have even in these hopeless times. Now, what we're about to see is a depiction of what we call the Passion of Jesus Christ. And I just want to make this clear before it begins. There's really no film, no storyteller, nothing that can completely, fully, accurately help someone grasp the agony, the suffering, and the tragedy involved with Jesus's death and his crucifixion. But we here have done as good of a job as we can to produce content that just helps you realize just what this meant to Jesus. And so let's take a look at this week's installment of Timeless Hope in Hopeless Times. So once again, Jesus Christ experienced an agony and a suffering that was so brutal. Now, I've heard this question asked before. Well, was Jesus the only person to ever be crucified? Well, of course not. The crucifixion was a Roman method of execution that, quite honestly, many people suffered. In fact, we know from biblical account that there were two other men that were also being crucified at the same time there as Jesus was. So it's not that crucifixion in and of itself is a unique torture that Jesus experienced, but it was the most brutal form of death that someone could die in that time. And not only the death itself, but the circumstances surrounding it. You see, as we look at scripture, we realize that Jesus was completely innocent. They could find no fault in him. He went before several different trials and judges, and he was sentenced to die even though he wasn't convicted of guilt. And Jesus also, he was the Son of God. He was God in the form of man. And while it's maybe hard to fathom, Jesus never sinned. He never did anything wrong. Yet he suffered and died in that moment. He was dying for the sins of all mankind and of all time. So the spiritual agony that Jesus was feeling on top of the physical agony is something that we cannot comprehend, but it's something that was absolutely and horribly, excruciatingly painful. Now, why did Jesus do all of this? Well, if you look at religion in the world, there's really two different ways to see it. There are religions that require you to do, and then there's religions in which it is already done. And the truth is that the done religion, there's just one. But when it comes to religions that require you to do, there's all different levels of them. Some require really extreme things like, you know, sacrifices or something like that. While others, it just says, here's a list of rules that you have to do. Here's things that you should do. Here's things that you shouldn't do. It's a list of do's and don'ts and so forth. And it's almost like you have to continue to actively do things and follow a set of rules in order to earn God's favor and ultimately entrance into heaven. And that is how most religions of the world are. But there is one belief system where everything is already done. And that's what Jesus's death is all about. What he did for us is done. In fact, as Jesus was breathing his last breath, he says, "It is finished." And we see this word is actually in the Greek means tetelestai, which means paid in full. So what Jesus did on that cross as he died, he was paying the price for all of our sins, for your sins, for my sins. And it's done. There's nothing we can do to earn God's favor, to earn God's love, to earn his forgiveness. What Jesus did right there means that it is done. You see, the Bible tells us that everyone has sinned, and therefore, because we've sinned, we have fallen short of God and his glory and his standard. You know, there are some basketball players out there that can jump incredibly high, but none of them can jump as high as the moon. You see, God's standard is the moon. And while, yes, there's people out there that are better than others, and they could certainly maybe say, I'm better than this person and I've done this, they'll never reach God's high and lofty standard of perfection and holiness. And that's why Jesus's death was substitutionary for us. So it is done. You don't have to do anything. You just have to accept his gift of forgiveness. Now, our goal here is to connect you or help you reconnect with Jesus. And the best way, one of the best ways you can do that is by connecting with a church. So you may be watching this on a page that actually contains some information about a church. Either way, you're going to see a button or a link somewhere below me that says Connect Now. Click on that link and click that Connect Now link. Give us some basic information, and we will help you connect with Jesus and connect with a church. Remember, it's done. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is accept it. It's a gift. If somebody were to give you something, all you have to do is reach out and take it. And that's all you have to do. So we look forward to connecting you with Jesus, connecting you with a church. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.